So, what was it like that first Easter morning? He's alive, is he? I don't know. The others say that they've seen him. What do you think? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome to the program today as we kick off a new series of messages called A Life Eternal. And do stick with me because at the end of today's message, I'll be telling you about our latest life application book, Having the Sort of Faith That Conquers the World. I'd love to send you a free copy to help you live in the victory that Jesus died and rose again to give you. Let me paint you a picture. Just the other day, someone that you love passed away. You really admired and trusted this person. I mean, you'd seen them in operation, and now they're gone. It's a shock. It shouldn't have happened. It was so young and so full of promise. It had a future. And now that person is gone. Take some time to come to grips with that. The shock and the sadness and the deep sense of loss, even anger. We go through so many different stages in that grieving process. You wake up with a dull ache in your head. What's that about? And then you remember your loss. The phone rings. It's a friend. They're ranting and raving. And the person who's dead, what are they saying? He's alive again? Now, hang on a minute. What sort of crackpot? What's going on? Is this a sick joke? But your friend is adamant. He's alive. I mean, it's an incredible claim. It's incredulous. It's mad. It's sick. There are lots of words to describe it. You saw him die with your own eyes. Arrested, crucified, buried, definitely, very definitely dead. In one sense, you know, it's almost easier to believe it if you read it in the Bible. It happened 2,000 years ago. It was Jesus. It's long enough ago to make it safe. Do you know what I mean? I mean, you can almost sort of half believe it and half see it as a fable and go, well, yeah, okay, I believe it. It happened back then. Sure, God could do anything. I mean, God did that sort of stuff back then. Well, it was 2,000 years ago. Question. If you believe that Jesus rose from the dead again, just transpose that into today, here and now. That phone call comes. Jesus is alive. Come on, tomorrow morning. You get that phone call in the morning. Is it possible? Let's put ourselves back in the shoes of these disciples, right there in that place in Jerusalem with the Jesus that they knew. You get it? It's a lot harder to believe when it's close. It was a bit like that for Mary Magdalene. She went down to the tomb on that morning that we call Easter Sunday to embalm the body of Jesus. They had herbs and spices and they were going to embalm him. Sunset Friday and all day Saturday was the Jewish Sabbath. That means they weren't allowed to work and they couldn't embalm him. So they went down on the Sunday morning. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they said to a woman, "What's the matter? Why are you crying?" "They've taken Jesus away, my Lord. They've taken him away," she said. "And I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize it was him. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried Jesus away, tell me where you've put him and I'll go and get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned toward him and cried in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to my Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, Jesus is returning to his Father and your Father and to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I've seen the Lord, I've seen Jesus." And she told them that he had said these things to her. She wasn't the only one having problems. I think you and I would have had problems with it all. And after that, Jesus appeared to his disciples, all of them that is, except Thomas. He wasn't there that day. Now, Thomas was one of the 12. He wasn't with the other disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We've seen him, we've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Look, I'm sorry. Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and I put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side where they pierced him, I'm sorry, I just won't believe it. A week later, Jesus' disciples were in that house again. And Thomas was with them this time. And even though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Shalom, peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Tom, come here. Put your finger in here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." And then Jesus told them, "Because you've seen me, you've believed. But blessed are those who haven't seen me and yet have believed." I don't know. I think I'm with Thomas. I can imagine the phone call and someone saying to me, "Jesus is alive, and I saw him go to the electric chair the other night." And I think, this is just too much. It's hard to believe when you're close to it. Can I ask you, what do you believe? Maybe it's an uncomfortable question. It's easy to consign this whole resurrection of Jesus thing to the past, but kind of like a fable to which we give some moderate level of logical and cognitive assent. Kind of a vague half-belief insurance policy thing. The Apostle Paul takes it pretty seriously. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, he says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved." And 1 Corinthians 15:17, "If Christ has not been raised from the dead, then your faith is futile." For Paul, the resurrection wasn't some optional extra. It wasn't some distant myth. It wasn't something that we could kind of half believe. Historians agree that Jesus was a real historical figure. I mean, there's no serious historian who doubts that. They agree he was killed. The question is, was he raised again from the dead? Paul said, "Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You'll be saved. And if you don't, you're wasting your time." We're going to have a bit of a look throughout this week on the program as to why we should believe that. But today, I just want to ask you really simply, what do you believe? The resurrection can seem really, I don't know, incongruous amidst the day-to-day realities of life, the things that we all face. I mean, I still do some IT consulting work. It's my professional background. And I travel into the city and I work up on the 38th floor looking down over this great city and deal with managers and lawyers and important people. And we talk about this and we talk about that. You stick the resurrection of Jesus Christ right into the middle of that day-to-day reality. And you ask me, "Bernie, in the middle of all this, do you actually believe this stuff? Do you believe that this Jesus was raised from the dead?" I mean, come on, Bernie, it's incongruous. It's an outrageous notion. It just doesn't fit. Do you still believe this stuff? And my answer to you is absolutely, with every fiber of my being. In my heart, I believe that Jesus Christ was crucified, that he died, and that he rose again, so that we might have eternal life. I believe with my heart. That's me. What about you? Next to love, I have no doubt that faith is one of the most powerful forces on this planet. When we place all our eggs in the one basket, when we trust everything to Jesus and what he did for us, all of a sudden we find ourselves living in the victory that he died and rose again to bring us. It's not always easy though, is it? That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet, Having the Sort of Faith That Conquers the World. I believe that as you receive God's word into your heart, he will breathe precisely that sort of faith into your heart. And at the end of each chapter, you'll find some life application questions to help you think through and apply God's word right into the circumstances in your life. So, to request your free copy of this powerful new booklet, stop by at ChristianityWorks.com and you'll see that free offer right there towards the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that ebook will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. That web address again is ChristianityWorks.com. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond. Catch you again, same time tomorrow, with a different perspective.